This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. States around the country are trying to deal with a shortage of home health care workers. Last week, the White House praised Wisconsin's Department of Health Services for their solutions to the growing demand for in-home care workers. The recent press release highlighted Wisconsin's Caregiver Training and Registry Program as an example for other states to follow. Our next guest oversees that program and is here to talk about what's made it effective enough to receive federal recognition in just its first few months. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you looking for a home caregiver of one sort or another for yourself or maybe a loved one? Have you worked as a home caregiver yourself, or are you interested in becoming a home care worker? Join in with your experiences or your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Kevin Coughlin is the Policy Initiative Advisor for the Wisconsin DHS Division of Medicaid Services. Kevin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. Really honored to be here to talk about this important topic.
Let's start off with the problem we're trying to solve. Can you talk about the growing need for home health care workers here in Wisconsin and in so many other places?
Yeah, unfortunately, Wisconsin's not unique. It's happening all across the nation, and we just have a shortage of direct care workers that can meet the growing demand of, you know, helping people with, you know, either older adults or people with disabilities be able to stay in their own homes and in their communities as long as possible.
And can you talk about the nature of work and maybe some of the different specialties that might be involved in home health care?
Yeah, it really varies by the individual. And there's people want to take everybody wants to have their own unique way of getting through their day and helping them be as productive as possible. So it could be, personal care, helping them get a shower in or getting dressed in the morning, getting some of their personal cares done. But it could also be, supportive home care, such as helping them prepare a meal, getting their home cleaned up and supported. So a variety of things but very individualized to keep them, keep people really living in their own homes as long as possible, living really their best life.
And there's a few different facets to what we're doing here in Wisconsin. I want to start off with this registry for workers and employers, basically helping people in need find the workers, helping workers find the work. Tell us about this system.
Yeah, so it's kind of a two-prong approach. We created a new certified direct care professional certification in partnership with the University of Wisconsin Green Bay. So individuals can take a 30-hour online on-demand course. At the end, they take a proctored exam to make sure that they have the competencies they need to work in this field. And then after that, they're connected on a portal with providers and agencies or people that are directing their own care to find each other. So the job seekers get connected to the providers, and the providers are able to find people to fill their vacancies.
You were on the morning show here on the Ideas Network a few months back to talk about this. What has been the response to this registry so far?
It's been great, Rob. We had we launched it in late July, and as of last week, we had almost 5,000 individuals have registered, indicating that they want to take this course. And then they're kind of all at different stages in the process. Some have completed it. So we have over almost 236 people that are on our registry that have done everything. And then of those, 167 have found employment. So it's working, and people are every week moving through that process, getting from registration to completion.
And tell us a little more about then the training part of this registry. What do people do to complete that?
So they will take 14 different modules, and they can, and as I indicated, it's on demand, so they can start and stop
right
when they need to, because people's lives are full of other things happening. So, but they learn everything, a little bit about the personal care and supportive care that they need to do, but also how to communicate, how to work with, communicate with guardians and other people that are part of their life, and making sure that they're really doing, helping the individual be productive as well. We don't want to just do things for the individuals. You know, we want them to do it for themselves as well, and really to support that self-determination.
Talking to Kevin Coughlin with the Wisconsin DH Division of Medicaid Services, talking about home health care workers, a pretty recently created online registry for workers and people looking for home health care workers. If you have participated in that, if you're a home health care worker yourself or you employ them, join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Kevin, this is funded by some federal money. I know there are concerns. Well, is this going to run out at some point in the future? How do you make sure that this is sustainable, regardless of what might be down the pipeline for federal funding?
Yeah, so what we're trying to do is put a lot of this money into building the infrastructure now that we have the funding, and to make it very cost effective once the American Rescue Plan funding is no longer available in 2025. So, trying to front load a lot of that cost. And we feel that by that time, we're going to have some really good data that shows how effective this program is, and that it will be delivered at a reasonable price for taxpayers, for either through a biennial budget request, or we're also exploring other funding options that might be available.
Now, for people who need this kind of care, or they're working on providing something for a family member, we had one caller just to ask about eligibility. Who is paying for these workers? Are people paying out of pocket? Is some of it covered maybe by a Medicare or other programs? How does this work on the user's side of things here?
Sure. So in Wisconsin, we have a program called Family Care, or we also have a self-directed plan where people can really hire their own staff if they're Medicaid eligible. So this is primarily used for those individuals that have long-term care needs. They can't live independently, without help, and that they also are Medicaid eligible. So we have a very robust program to keep people, in their homes, in their communities. And it's really for those individuals with physical disabilities or older adults that need that additional care that this is targeted for.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Katie is with us in Marshfield. Katie, hi.
Hi. Hey, I was just telling the gentleman that I've been doing elder care for about 8 years now. It was like a secondary career after retirement, and I never thought I'd be doing anything like this, and it's very rewarding. I wish more people would look into it. It isn't the kind of work that you'd be doing in nursing home. A lot of it I would almost term, and I think there is a term for it, called companion care. I do grocery shopping and laundry and just checking in on people, talking to them. It's been an adventure.
And since you started this, Katie, do you feel like you are in demand? Are people needing the kind of services you're providing?
Oh, you have no idea. Yes. And I work sometimes with people in assisted living, and I will run into other people who try to sign me up, but I'm pretty full up. And even though I only work in, short spans of time, maybe sometime 3 to 4 hours, that would probably almost be the max. I still have plenty of clients. I have 4 clients that I'm dedicated to. And I'll tell you what, I wish people would do this, because these older people are just total treasures, just absolute treasures, and it is so rewarding.
Katie, thank you so much for sharing that experience. All right, a couple things I want to talk about from Katie. First of all, at least Katie's reporting, Kevin, that this is a pretty rewarding experience for her. Is that part of the message you're trying to get out?
Absolutely, and it was so great to hear your story, Katie, and thank you for your service, because you are so needed, you and your colleagues out there. And that's one of the things that we're trying to let people know. This can be very rewarding, and also professional. That's the other part is this is hard work. And we want to raise the awareness that these are professionals doing this direct care work. And that's one of the, in our listening sessions with direct care workers, we got the name Certified Direct Care Professional in there because really recognizing the important work that they do.
And Katie also mentioned this is a post-retirement job for her. Do you have demographics in mind, whether it's high school graduates just out of school, retirees like Katie, or those at all points in between?
All points in between. And yes, we are. We have a strong recruitment effort in our high schools to help people think about a healthcare career. And this is a great starting point, we feel. And then people like Katie, it's great because, a lot of people are looking for something different, maybe post-retirement and to add a little. And for Katie, too, we're not just looking for new people coming into the field. We want to help people like Katie get that training as well. So she can get that free training. She can get also a sign-on bonus or stay-on bonus, we call it as well, if she's already currently working for an eligible provider. And then also 6 months later, a retention bonus. So part of this funding is really trying to get it in the hands of these direct care workers.
Katie, thanks again for calling. We're talking to Kevin Coughlin, Policy Initiative Advisor for the Wisconsin DHS Division of Medicaid Services, talking about Wisconsin's new training and registry program for home health care workers. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you participated in this? Have you signed on to that registry, maybe gone through the training modules? Or do you want to know more about what is involved in that? If you are looking to employ a caregiver or you rely on one now, share that experience, please. Or if you've been doing this kind of work, let us know. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Kevin Coughlin, Policy Initiative Advisor for the Wisconsin DHS Division of Medicaid Services. We're talking about Wisconsin's new Home Caregiver Training and Registry Program. It got some recognition from the White House last week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to know more about how to sign up for this? What kind of training is involved? Do you have a firsthand experience of the need for home healthcare workers, whether you rely on someone yourself or try to hire someone or maybe working with a loved one? If you've been in this line of work, love to hear from you as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go back to your calls. David is with us in Wild Rose. David, hi.
Hi. Hello, this is David Peterson in Wild Rose. I'd just like to say I helped my mom out when she was Beata Lydia Ganitsky Peterson. Mm-hmm. She was the wife of Ralph Theodore Peterson. That I was helping her back in like 84. She was the site manager for the senior nutrition. Then they gave me a key to the community center. And I've been helping them out with providing all arts and crafts stuff. Mm. And I bring my own paper, like butchered paper. I bring it in there, and I bring them all these little things that they can paint and stuff. Mm. And they love it. And I have an art education, a bachelor's in art education. So it's right up my alley. And
I gotcha. David, thanks for the call. Thanks for the work you're doing. Sounds like David's talking about volunteering there, Kevin. But he clearly gets a lot of joy from it, as we heard from our caller earlier. Can you talk about a little more about the fulfillment you hear from people who've maybe gone into this kind of work?
Yeah, I think this is one of those jobs that, they can change people's lives by what they do, doing that work and that interaction with them. And I think what we keep hearing about from the caregivers that we work with is, when they go to work and they can bring a smile to someone's face or to be able to help them do something that maybe they didn't think they could do by encouraging them and supporting them. There's just so much satisfaction that individual can get from that kind of work. And it can lead to, you know, I think when we've also talked to professionals, you know, a lot of professionals have started their work as a direct care worker in their early years. And for many, we hear it's had such a profound impact on them as they advance in their career, and they have sort of that empathy and acknowledgement of what caring gives to an individual.
I know we're just a few months into this, Kevin, but I understand there's some new or maybe upcoming developments in this program to help train home care workers here in the state.
Yeah, thanks for asking that. We're also going to be launching a Spanish version of our curriculum, along with a Spanish-speaking person that will be giving the competency test, and part of our website will be in Spanish. Really trying to help those individuals where English is their second language, and to help, you know, understand the concepts and the training a little bit better. So we're excited to be launching that in the early part of the year. And then we're also doing a program called Micro Credentials, where we're going to be connecting to other training that might be out there that could be very specific to, you know, like, for example, a person with an older adult that maybe has dementia, some, you know, in-depth training on dementia care, so that on our registry, then it'll show a certified direct care professional with a micro-credential or a badge, a virtual badge will be shown on the registry of their dementia training. So we're that whole scope of work is we'll be doing early in 2024 as well. And it'll help those caregivers who want to upskill their resume and their skill set. And then also for providers, when they are looking for somebody to work in their field, you know, maybe they're serving people, younger adults with autism, for example, they might want to then look for a certified direct care professional that also has some badges in autism care. So we're excited about that next phase.
Talking to Kevin Coughlin with the Wisconsin DHS Division of Medicaid Services, looking at the need for home health care workers here in Wisconsin, home care in general, and an ongoing registry program now, pretty new one. Still time for you to join in with your questions or experiences at 800-642-1234. Kevin, I want to talk about partnerships in this. I believe UW Green Bay is involved. You've mentioned working with different home care employers. Are you looking to reach out to other community groups, businesses, local government health departments, and others to try to promote what you're doing here and help meet these needs?
Yes, we're trying to collaborate with really anybody that is involved in this program or that needs direct care workers. So we're working with high schools, we're working with the Department of Public Instruction, Department of Workforce Development, key advocacy organizations. We want to get the word out that this is available. You know, it's free. It's people can get retention or sign up and retention bonuses, and you know, it can help fill all those vacancies that we need. So, really, we're open to collaborating with any kind of an organization that can help move this forward.
And I wonder if you could give some advice to someone who's maybe in a situation where they need or know they're soon going to need a home care worker. Say they're just coming out of, you know, a rehab facility or something after an injury. They're looking, and maybe they're in a community where there's not a lot of this available right now, or people who have time to do the work they need. Do you have advice on how to seek out home care workers?
Yeah, you know, one of the great resources that we have in our state that some people might not be aware of is our Aging and Disability Resource Centers. Acronym is ADRC for short. But all communities have access to this program, and it's really designed to help any individual find those resources in their community for whatever their needs are. So whether it's hiring a caregiver or finding access to certain resources, that's I would really recommend that as a great starting point. And then there's also we're going to have resources available through our WIS Caregiver Certified Direct Care Professional Program. So there'll be information there on if people are looking as well.
Let's go back to our callers. Karen is with us in Madison. Karen, hi.
Hi. Excuse me. I have two questions. One is how caregivers are reimbursed, whether this is a benefit through Medicare and Medicaid. And the second is, are you doing any end-of-life care training? Okay. There's a big end-of-life doula movement out there that's doing similar work, but they're not being compensated or recognized by Medicare or Medicaid.
Karen, thanks for the call. To the first point, Kevin, we touched on this briefly earlier. For a lot of people using home care, would they be covered under, Karen wants to know, under Medicare or Medicaid?
Yeah, so what happens in Wisconsin is we have we have a contract with CMS, and then we work directly with managed care organizations. And those managed care organizations work, they have providers in their network. And those providers are the ones that then hire the caregivers. So the money is kind of flowing through our Medicaid program, but caregivers receive funding, their payments directly from the provider or the agency that they work for. But a lot of that money is funded through the federal government and state GPR.
And Karen mentioned the end-of-life doulas. As I understand it, that's not part of the project as currently constituted, Kevin?
You know, we have a module that talks about, you know, some of the end-of-life and hospice and different resources that might a caregiver might come across as they're doing their work. But we would also envision some of that work that might, you know, there could be some micro-credentials for individuals that want to kind of take that pathway as a career development. So we're trying to find out, you know, what's out there right now that we could potentially leverage and to connect to through our micro-credential and badging program. So we'd be interested in that, hearing more about that program.
Kevin, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us. That was Kevin Coughlin, Policy Initiative Advisor for the Wisconsin DHS Division of Medicaid Services, talking about Wisconsin's new home caregiver training and registry program that's gotten some praise from the White House in just its first few months. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, we've got you covered for new holiday movie releases, picks for hits you may have missed this year, and favorites to win in next month's Golden Globes and Critics' Choice Awards. It's our 2023 wrap with Reggie, the real critic. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Steve Gotcher with a story about a holiday tradition that kicked off this weekend.
Posadas are an important part of Mexican Christmas tradition. These community celebrations take place on each of the 9 nights leading up to Christmas. The word posada means inn or shelter in Spanish. And in this tradition, Mary and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem and their search for a place to stay is reenacted. Angeli Soria grew up in Mexico, but now calls Milwaukee home. During a storytelling event hosted by Milwaukee's Ex Fabula, she described posadas in Mexico as a community event. But things changed when she came to the Midwest. In this edited version of her story, you'll hear Soria, as well as Megan McGee, Ex Fabula's executive director, translating.
It was when I came to the U.S. I came here in summer.
Como el día 10 de diciembre,
on like the 10th of December,
yo no veía ningún movimiento en el bloque donde yo vivía.
I didn't see anybody moving around on our block.
Y le decía a mi mami,
and so I said to my mom,
oh, aquí no pasa nada. Está gente muy callada.
Nothing's going on here. These people are really like boring.
¿Por qué? Debe de haber más movimiento.
Yeah, why is everyone so calm? Why isn't there something going on?
So en el día 16, que yo esperaba que hubiera posada.
So on the 16th, when I figured, you know, there should be a posada going on.
Salí a la calle y grité yo en la calle, esa es mentira, aquí no vive nadie.
I went out to the street and I yelled, this is a lie, there's nobody out here.
Salgan.
Come on out.
Y yo gritando y tocando en algunas puertas.
And I was screaming and like knocking on doors.
Y alguien llamó a la policía.
Somebody called the police.
Y yo estaba ahí parada, pues nadie salía. Y
I was just there standing, like nobody's coming out.
Me dijeron, me preguntaron, ¿qué haces tú aquí? Alguien dice que tú estás haciendo escándalo.
And they asked me, like, what are you doing here? Someone says that you're causing trouble.
Y yo le dije, bueno, sí, yo estaba preguntando a voz alta, ¿por qué nadie salía si era el día de las posadas?
Well, and I was just asking very loudly why no one was out here doing posadas.
Y me dijo, oh, ¿tú eres mexicana?
And they said, oh, you're Mexican?
Dije, sí, yeah. Pero también hay otros que no son mexicanos.
And I said, yes, but there's other people that aren't Mexican.
Dice, that's okay. Aquí es diferente, es guay. Y él
that's me, okay. Here it's different. It's very quiet during
dijo,
posadas.
Ve a una iglesia.
And he said, go to a church.
Allí vas a encontrar posada.
There you're going to find the posadas.
Y aún estando yo aquí, anhelo tener ese tiempo que yo tuve allá.
And even though I'm here, you know, I remember what I had there. I remember those posadas.
Porque es mi cultura.
It's my culture.
Es algo con lo que crecí.
It's something I grew up with.
Y que al llegar a este país, lo rompí.
And when I came to this country, that tradition broke.
Y la razón es que se rompe es porque se acaba tu tradición. Y no es que tú lo inicies, es por que te estás adaptando a una nueva cultura.
And the reason that these traditions break, it's not that you like deliberately break it, but it's that you're adapting to another culture.
Y invitas amigos.
Maybe you invite friends
y conocen
over.
Tu cultura, tu tradición.
And they get to know your traditions, your culture.
Y algunas personas les gusta.
And some people love it.
La prueba está que ahora, no importando la raza, quebran piñatas.
You know, now, no matter what ethnicity or racial background you have, people are breaking piñatas.
En los cumpleaños.
Yeah.
Cumpleaños.
Yes.
Sí. Thank you for listening to me.
Mil gracias, eh?
Thanks to our friends at Exfabula, Milwaukee's very own storytelling and community building program, for sharing this story with us. You can hear the full story online at wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Steve Gotcher.
Now, the holidays are always a chance to check out a few big-name movie releases or catch up on films from the past year that you finally have a few extra hours or maybe days to catch up on, streaming or if they're still in the theaters. Plus, we can look ahead to next year's fast-approaching awards season and get some nostalgia with a classic or two. Reggie the Real Critic is back with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What were your favorite movies of 2023? Are there ones you have plans to see over the next couple few weeks? Or do you need some advice from Reggie on what to see? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Reggie Ponder is resident critic for Vocalo Radio in Chicago and Garfield Lawndale Voice Chicago. He's a member of the Critics' Choice Association. You can find him on the social medias at The Real Critic. That's R-E-E-L-L Critic. Reggie, welcome back.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm glad to be back. And it's been a whirlwind since the strike has been over. Everybody's trying to promote their movies and It's been a bit, so I'll tell you that much.
Well, let's get going into the movies now. We've got a couple of remakes, basically, that I'm seeing a lot of the ads for. Let's start with one, Wonka, now with Timothy Chalamet, yet another go at Willy Wonka. Here's a clip of the title character talking with young actress Calla Lane, playing Wonka's assistant, Noodle.
What are you doing?
I'm making chocolate, of course. How do you like it?
I don't know. I've never had any.
You've never had chocolate?
Still no.
Well, lucky for you, Noodle, I have a selection of the world's finest ingredients right here in my travel factory.
Whoa.
Where to begin? That's the question. I know. Silver linings, made of condensed thunderclouds and liquid sunlight.
Did you always want to make chocolate?
No. Back when I was your age, I wanted to be a magician.
Reggie Wonka has divided the Central Time team. We have one big dislike and one moderate like. Your thoughts on the new Wonka
movie?
Wow.
I like this. I thought it was imaginative. It was a different take. And I think it's absolutely going to resonate with people of all ages, actually. I think kids of all ages. Wow, people didn't like it? I like this.
Well, I don't want to name names, but executive producer Dean Knetter was a big no on this one. Oh, I named the name. Darn it. Here's another. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, make the case for people who aren't, you know, Grinches that they might like this Wonka movie.
Yeah. I think what they did here is that they had this young guy who set out to the big city to try to realize his dreams. And this is a Realize Your Dreams movie. And I think that it'll resonate with a lot of people. And if you don't leave, I'd ask Dean, did he at least leave wanting some chocolate? And if you did, it did its job.
Dean came in wanting chocolate. That's an easy one. Here's another remake coming out now. Christmas Day, this is coming up. 1985's The Color Purple, adapted from Alice Walker's novel. Want to give a listen to Oprah Winfrey, a producer on the film. She sets up a little clip here, too, I think.
There's nothing that's been more important or vital to me culturally, artistically, than The Color Purple. It is a solid base of spiritual and emotional power for me. Every woman and man who has been invisible, who has felt unseen and unvalued, this is their story.
Today, our teacher taught us about a place called Africa. Our mamas come from Queens over there. You know what that means? We royalty.
So Oprah there, and then actress Halle Bailey in the movie itself. A remake of Color Purple. Reggie, what do you think? Why now? And are you looking forward to this one?
So it's not a remake. It's a totally
readaptation.
And the reason it's not a remake, though, is that the musical wasn't a remake. It was a different look at this at the book. And what they did here is they really pulled from the musical and added some things. This has more... it's giving the characters more imagination, and it's going into it goes a little bit deeper into some of the themes for the movie. So if you were to ask a Blitz who was the writer director, he would say it's not a remake, and Oprah definitely would say it's not a remake. So I want to put that out there.
I don't want Oprah mad at me, Reggie. So thank you.
Oh man, you don't want Oprah mad at you. I'm gonna tell you, I did not want to see another version of this movie because I felt that the classic was the classic. And after seeing the movie, I went out to LA to see it. This is a Herculean achievement. It will make you say that they own this. It's all like singing a Dionne Warwick song and owning it, and people forgetting that it was a Dionne Warwick song. This was done really, really well. The actors, I got a chance to interview Taraji P. Henson, Fantasia, and Danielle, and they really put their heart into this. This is a must-see movie. I encourage people to check this one out over the holidays. You will cry, but you will come out uplifted as well.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Tim is with us in Viroqua. Tim, what movie is on your mind?
Well, it's Napoleon, and I'm interested in what your guest review of that movie is. My review is Napoleon the movie, ironically, would have been better were it shorter.
Thanks a lot for that capsule review, Tim. Reggie, have you seen this one?
Yeah, I think that everybody, I think that the Hollywood is getting carried away with these movies that are long long movies, and I can't disagree with that at all. Is that how do you need 30, 40 more minutes to tell that story? Could you condense it down? Some of these movies, including, we'll get into movies like Oppenheimer and Killers of the Flower Moon, these movies get to be pretty darn long. And I'm going to tell you, at my age, I'm going to need a bathroom break.
Tim, thanks a lot for that call. Hey, let's get into some of the award fodder. You know, half of Barbenheimer is up for a lot. Oppenheimer, Barbie is actually up for some the comedy category, I think, in the Golden Globes, or I can't remember which one. Your thoughts on some of the top contenders around award season now?
Yeah. So looking at what has been nominated so far from the AFI, the Golden Globes, and the Critics' Choice Awards, which I'm a member of, there are seven movies that stand out that everybody kind of agrees that are the top of the heap. And that's Barbie and Killers of the Flower Moon, as well as Oppenheimer. So those are really like the three front runners. What I'll say is that Barbie is probably the most different movie for Hollywood. I think Killers of the Flower Moon and Oppenheimer are the types of films from a theatrical perspective, meaning people say that these people really acted in the movie. When you look at Barbie, they might get dismissed somewhat because it's a lighter film. But Barbie is going to do really, really well, I think, just across the board. There's some other movies like The Holdovers, which I would also say is a good holiday movie because we talked about holiday movies. Hopefully people will go out and see The Holdovers as well. Then there's Maestro, Past Lives, Poor Things, and American Fiction. So those are the top seven movies that are out there from the critics so far.
We'll dig into a couple of those movies coming up. We are wrapping up the year in movies with Reggie Ponder, also known as Reggie the Real Critic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a favorite movie you've seen over this last year or one that is on your radar that you maybe need a nudge to actually go check it out? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Reggie Ponder, a.k.a. The Real Critic. He's resident critic for Vocalo Radio in Chicago and Garfield Lawndale Voice Chicago. Looking at some of the best movies of 2023, new releases, maybe some award-likely candidates. You could join in with yours at 800-642-1234. If you have a movie to recommend from this year or a movie you're wondering about that's maybe just coming out or just about to come out, let us know. 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. All right, I want to check out some of those other contenders. And this is a good one because it's also a new release just about to come out, I think, later this week. Tell us about American Fiction before we get to a little taste of it.
Yeah, American Fiction stars Jeffrey Wright as a professor who obviously has to write books because you have to publish. And his books are not doing that well. He goes to a conference. He finds out that there's another author, a black author, who's doing really, really well. And she's doing well with a book that is, he believes is nonsense. And he believes that is not literary greatness. And the question is, does he stoop to the level and start to write that kind of book? Or does he keep his morals and continue to write the types of books that he thinks he should write?
Let's give a listen to Jeffrey Wright as the author Thelonious Ellison in American Fiction.
Excuse me, Ned, do you have any books by the writer Thelonious Ellison?
Yeah, this way. Here you go.
Right. Yeah. Wait a minute, why are these books here?
I'm not sure. I would imagine that this author, Ellison, is black.
That's me, Ellison.
Yeah.
He is me, and he and I are black.
Oh, bingo.
No bingo, Ned. These books have nothing to do with African-American studies. They're just literature. The blackest thing about this one is the ink.
I don't decide what sections the books go in, and no one here does. That's how chain stores work.
Right. Ned, you don't make the rules.
I'm just gonna put them back after you leave.
Don't you dare, Ned. Do not you dare.
All right, Reggie. Jeffrey Wright is one of those actors who's like, I always like seeing him, right? He's always good and stuff. This is a starring role for him. What do you make of American Fiction?
Yeah, this is a very provocative, a funny, a sad movie as well. It's funny in that it makes a commentary on fiction, on the literary industry. It's sad in that the commentary is pretty accurate in terms of what the industry wants to promote and push forth and how they look at black authors. But this is not a black movie. This is a movie I think that everyone should see. And it's really interesting, very, very funny, and very witty. A great job with a star cast. Leslie Uggams actually makes a star appearance. I just want to mention her, even though there are a lot of other good stars there, that Leslie Uggams doesn't get that much shine. So just want to mention that she was in this movie as well.
George on Facebook brings up the movie Maestro, and that is on your list as well as the in the award categories. Tell us a little bit about Maestro.
This film, your guy, Bradley Cooper, and I'm just going to call him your guy because if he should be everybody's guy. He worked on this movie, I think, for 7 years, and it really chronicles the lifelong relationship of the conductor-composer Leonard Bernstein and actress Felicia Montegre. And it's just a towering performance. And I will tell you, Carey Mulligan in this film as his wife is she's fantastic. This is a really, really good film. I don't know if all the parts equal to the award-winning part of that, meaning it's the best film of the year, but the acting is good, the music is good, all the parts are good in this film. Good job. I think this is absolutely worth checking out.
I like Bradley Cooper in the TV show Alias. I don't know if that makes him my guy or not, though. You also mentioned, Reggie, the movie The Holdovers, and I don't feel like this one's gotten as much attention, at least not as much advertising, as some of these other big names. Tell us a little bit about The Holdovers.
So Paul Giamatti stars as this teacher, a history teacher, but he's a very, very cranky history teacher. None of the kids
wait.
Like
Paul Giamatti plays a cranky guy?
Yeah.
He's really stretching, man.
There you go. And none of the students like him, but he gets the short end of the draw and has to stay over with the kids who can't go home for some reason. Either their parents are not there, or they got to go overseas, or whatever. And he has to stay there with the head of the cooking department, the food service department, him and another student, and they end up learning more about each other. It is a really smart movie, and when people walk away from it, they'll see a lot of themselves in it, and they'll see individuals also revealing themselves. So Divine Joy Randolph plays the head of the food service there, and she and Paul Giamatti are really great together. And then newcomer Dominic Sessa is the student who has to stay over, and they all have some different issues. This is absolutely a holiday movie, and I think a one to see. You'll come out of it talking about it for sure.
And then, Reggie, you've got some movies that were big hits over the year, but obviously not everybody saw them. Give us a couple that we should catch up on if we missed them in 2023.
So if you miss anything, please just go make sure you see this year. It's a Wonderful Life. That's all I want to say. I just make sure you see It's a Wonderful Life, my favorite movie. So, but other blockbusters that you might want to see is that John Wick Chapter 4. You might want to see. I'm forgetting the other one that I want to tell you.
Well, you gave us a little list. One of them dealing with the complicated issue of artificial intelligence, Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning, Part 1.
That one. And I would absolutely stream that at home. I would check that one out as well. And of course, you have those some animation films in there. But I think what most people are going to do this, and maybe you don't do this, but a lot of people are going to be watching those Christmas movies on Hallmark, Lifetime, BET, all these channels who have gotten into the Christmas business and have probably like 50 different love movies out there for you to see.
Reggie, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us again. A happy holidays and have a good new year.
Happy holidays. Thanks again.
That's Reggie Ponder, resident critic for Vocalo Radio. You can find him on social media at The Real Critic. Talk to him about the year in movies, some new releases, and his picks for January awards shows as well. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs have been made into political targets in Wisconsin and beyond. What are they, and what do they actually do? We'll dig into the history of DEI and how it's been put into practice in colleges and businesses. And has the quality of our clothing gotten worse over time? Check out the impact of fast fashion and other trends that may shorten the lifespan of the clothing that we wear. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time on the Ideas Network.